Hello and broadcasting from the beautiful central coast of California. It's the Dr. Death Danger Radio Show.
Nice.
Hey, that was just that Trader Joe's butter chicken and normal frozen naan slammed like 2 hours ago.
Pretty fucking filling.
Mom, that's bread, right?
Yeah, it's some kind of fucking flatbread. Mm. I don't know, just told me to warm it up in the oven for like 2 minutes and then friggin' rub some butter on it, call it good with the butter chicken.
Sure,
that's what it was. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Triple D Radio Show with your hosts, James Edward. Ed! There's timestamps in the description, but Ed! What is good, my resident Florida Maine? What's good in Florida? We have not heard from you in a week.
Hey,
introduce yourself, motherfucker.
Oh yeah, sorry. It's hey everybody, I'm Edward. Welcome back to my mom's most favorite podcast, you guys.
Alright.
It's foggy and muggy. So like if I was back where I lived, it would be about
the same shit.
Maybe 60 degree weather. Here it's the way it looks, would be about 60, but the way it looks out here with the temperature, yeah, it's about 80. And it started to sprinkle a bit, so I was like, get me the hell out of here. Cause I love the rain. I do not love hot, muggy rain.
You in that hot, muggy Florida rain. Well, doing that yeah, Disney man. Thing.
Yeah, dog. But yeah, I've just been, doing the thing, hanging out, making some freaking magic for the people.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So wait, do you still deal with people? I can't remember if you actually deal with like the people of like dicking around at the park, or are you just like just still behind the scenes?
No, doing your thing? I'm completely behind the scenes. The only time that I've actually dealt with any guests was a couple times I had to make a run for something into the park to bring to another section of the park. But that's only happened like once. Every other time, yeah, no, I'm just completely backstage. I'm hidden. I'm invisible. A ghost even.
Damn. Wild.
Yeah, dude. Boss. So yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like being a in the Secret Service.
It's like you don't have to deal with customers.
Except I work for Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Resident Florida Maine. Have you done any Florida man level shit yet?
Well, if you're asking me if I've snored like a cruise liner worth of coke and taken off my shirt to fight a bear, no, I have not. But I have.
Yo, what's the wildest shit that you've seen in Florida so far? TBH.
That I have seen, not too much. That one of my roommates saw, though. They saw, this was like about four days ago. Okay. They saw a fight break out in front of Space Mountain.
Damn. People really be fucking brawling in front of Space Mountain?
Yeah, I honestly. All right,
how many times have you ridden Space Mountain? Now that brings up another question that I feel like that could be answered immediately.
Well, I don't know if this is uncouth of me, but once, because the Space Mountain here is pretty much, you know, inferior to the one back home in like every single way.
All right, then what's the ride? Then what's the ride that you've just hit like the crazy amount?
The ride that I love like absolutely the most is an Animal Kingdom. It's called Escape. It's called the Mount Everest Expedition, I believe. Basically, it's like the Matterhorn on crack, except it doesn't murder your back.
Damn, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, James came up with this nickname for the Matterhorn back home. He calls it the Murderhorn because it just completely demolishes your back.
Yeah, no, it just fucking, it was built. It felt like it was built like back in the 1960s, and it still feel like it's built back from the 1960s.
Yeah, they've done things to try to like modernize it a little bit and like bring it up to standards. But I'm gonna be honest,
it's you're walking away with a herniated disc. Let's be honest.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where you're walking with a herniated disc. It's still a fun ass ride, but yeah, it's a brutal one.
Yeah, Everest is like that, but it goes forward, it goes backwards, it's faster. It's not as tall, like it's not as big.
Yo, isn't there like, yo, is there a murder horn in the fucking Disney World park? I'm not a Disney park nerd, so.
No, they do not have a Matterhorn.
Yeah, actually. Right. They have the fucking Seven Dwarfs one, right? And that one's like super smooth. The Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, it's great. It's crazy smooth. It's a little short, but it's really fun.
Now, do you have the fucking perks where you could just fucking get on rides like easy, or do you have to wait in line like all the schmucks?
Nah, I gotta wait in line with the regular people. We don't get a discount on, as far as I know. No, wait, actually, no. We get a discount on the what's it called? We get a discount on the Lightning Lane stuff. But
okay.
But I would prefer to not pay for Lightning Lane, especially because when I was a kid, you know.
Yeah, you're there. You're there for them to pay you. You're not there to pay them.
Yeah. And I've been pretty good about, you know, not splurging money I shouldn't on merchandise. So that's helped my wallet. Oh, actually, I get to do something cool day after tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. What's the sick shit you're doing?
Check this out. End of Evangelion is going to be in theaters for the first time in the U.S. And it's
having, so wait, has this actually aired yet? Or,
well, I mean, it was released on DVD in the States back in like 2002, but as far as I know, it never actually got like an actual like theatrical release.
Wait, is this like the OG one? Is this the one where it opens up with the fuck?
From 97.
Are you talking about the one that opens up with the fuck scene? And I'm just like, son of a fucking bitch, fucked it.
Oh,
why are they showing that one? Isn't there like a new one? Isn't there like a new one that's coming?
Oh, yeah, the rebuild movie.
Yeah, where the fuck is that?
It came out 3 years ago and it's available now on Amazon Prime.
So all of them are available. Hey, I'm not an Evangelion nerd. I just the other day, I watched this certain series in 5 minutes and they like explained to me what actually happened. I'm like, oh, so that's what happened. Okay. Thank you.
That's what happened.
Okay.
See, I told you Ava was great. You just didn't understand it.
No, I fucking did not. And it doesn't help. And they don't help out either. So wait, why are they showing that one? Isn't there, I said, what's up with the rebuild movies? Are they just not as sick as the end of Evangelion? What the fuck?
Well, that depends on your perspective. I pretty much love everything Evangelion. But yeah, so I'll be completely honest. I don't know why. I don't know why they're showing it. I don't even think it's an anniversary. Like the 30th anniversary is in 3 more years. They're just kind of doing it. And so it's going to be shown in US the first time.
No, I do. I've had ads for it too. And I thought it was like maybe the rebuild one, not the fucking annoying ass one.
Yeah, the 97 one. Which, fun fact, came out the same year as Final Fantasy VII. Isn't that crazy?
Man, I think some shit came out in the year of our Lord of 1997.
It's almost like Japan. It's almost like, to be that anime nerd, it's almost like Japanese pop culture peaked in the 90s.
Man.
Actually, a lot of pop culture peaked in the 90s.
Yeah. For realsies.
Not the 80s like my mom thinks. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom, but then we might be, but that's thing, but then we could be acting like your mom. We can be like those fools.
Well, yeah, but Mom's like fun and charming about it. We're not like Corey Taylor trying to tell people how, like, I don't know, Wasp is actually a super deeply influential band.
I don't know who the fuck would say that.
Oh, dude, no, like Corey Taylor and a lot of the new metal guys really fucked with glam metal. They weren't all like Jonathan Davis, who was all about like new romantics and goth shit. No, like Corey Taylor, Clown, the Static X guys. They fucked. They loved Poison. They loved Wasp. They loved all the hairy.
You lost me when you said Poison.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. I mean, hey, I'm not trying. I'm not going to try to convince you. Corey Taylor's cool. I like his music. I don't really think I like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, how's your week?
My week? Fuck. Since last time we've like podcast, I would say it's just more of the same, more of the same. But I would like to say that on Saturday, I went out, So I have some friends that play in another band. They're called the Letdowns. Mm-hmm. They kind of play a little bit of like, yeah, it's like a mixture of garage, indie, but also a little bit of that scrams like emo. I would say they're kind of like Catalyst, but just not as fast. A little bit more slow, but sure. They're usually a pretty fun band to watch live. And then just like, you know what? And they're also really good homies. And it's not like I'm also in another band with them. It's not like I'm sitting there with my bandmates, but I'm just saying. But they also had their friends that were having an EP release show. At this new fucking venue so Ed would know, but in like downtown San Luis, there's like, I guess a new-ish DIY venue. Now, I don't know how DIY it is, because one, these motherfuckers had to pay $650, make sure to pay $650 just for all these bullshit permits and also for security and insurance and all that. And also they had to put another $200 on top of that for space rent. So they had to pay basically $900 to do this show. Now, thankfully, this ain't a bunch of fucking shitty little metal, punk, grime, whatever kind of bullshit we're into. This is like slow indie shoegazy stuff. So they were at least able to make $2,000 at the door. And they basically walked away with $1,100, which kudos to them. They were fucking they were fucking sweating going I don't know how the fuck we're going to make money on this. But thankfully they did, and I was stoked for them. But I wanted to say, so the Dudes and the Crooks, also super cool dudes. I've kicked in bullshit with them after a show. But I remember when I got there, they were talking about that someone went up and asked them for an interview, which is like, all right, dude, sick. Some nerd wants to hit up, do a fucking little band interview. Hell yeah. They're like hitting it. Literally out of 10, 12 questions, three of them were actually related to themselves. The rest were about the opening band that they booked on the show, which I'm that is the most
serious.
No, that's some of the most fried shit. I was like, huh? What? And then that's the thing,
that's not real, dude. They had to be a friend of that band or something. That is so stupid.
I don't know. I don't know the context of that, but obviously I think they were more polite in this situation. I would have been mentioned going like, what, motherfucker? Huh? What are you on, bro? I would literally go like, what is this interview on? You just want me to tell you about what I know about this band? Excuse me, sir? Well, here's all I know. They do shoegaze and shit. That's it. I don't know.
It's like, cool, bro. We get it. You like the Deftones. Can you ask me about my... I would have thrown it...
Well, you... I thought this was an interview related with my band. I don't know why the fuck you're talking about this, asking questions about this other band.
I would have...
If you want to interview about that band, how about you interview that fucking band?
Yeah, no. I would have thrown in a comment like, well, you should ask them or something.
Yeah. I'm like,
Because never mind just how dumb and kind of cringe that is. It's just kind of disrespectful, don't you think? It's like you have this band there, and it's like, you know, they're taking time out of their night after they play the set.
No, this was before before the show.
Oh, well, either way, they're still taking the time out to like talk to you and all that. And then like all the questions are about some other band.
He was like, no, I was like,
It's literally like when people interview Dave Mustaine and all they want to do is ask him about Metallica.
Oh, dude, it was fucking hilarious too. Because once I met up with my bandmates that play in the Letdowns and also fucking the Crooks heads, when I was bullshitting with them, when they went back inside the venue, I just fucking just mob past the door heads. Like I act like I had business, like I was in this these bands. Actually, even more hilarious. So there was like this little corner couch that was off in the distance, and I was chilling. And the fucking security guard came up to me and was like, "Hey, can I see your wristband? Are you supposed to be back here?" And I'm like, "Dude, I'm with the bands." He's like, "Oh, you're with the bands?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he just totally backed off, and I'm just like, "Taking." That was it, dude. I was like, "Dude," and I was taking off hard.
Wow.
No, this ain't the first time. This ain't the first.
That's the most DIY thing you said about that whole venue.
Dude, I'm just saying, that fucking shit. Oh no, this venue sucked too. Because when I'm sitting at one, the acoustics were some fucking booty bun cakes. Like literally, when the homies in the Letdown start playing, they don't have a bass player, so it's mostly just guitar. fucking, it was fucking trebly like a motherfucker. It obviously chilled the fuck out when like actual bodies came in and the sound was able to reflect off those fucking meat bags. But I could already tell, just like, dude, fuck, trying to actually get a good sound in here would be a fucking bitch. And obviously, you know, paying $900 is not something I would want to fucking do. But then either way, no, loading in. This is on a second story, and they had to load in on like the skinny fucking staircase, like two flight staircase from the back. That's like literally they had to drive off into the mission to get into this back parking lot. This shit was fried.
Oh my god.
Now obviously this spot's being fucking like abused by all these like trashy like indie band shit too. And obviously the homies, they were doing an EP show. They wanted to try out this venue and shit. Now I'm sure I would fucking not want to do this spot. Fuck that. Unless there's heads coming in. Nah.
That's what I was about to ask. You wouldn't try to take on the challenge of trying to get a good soundscape out of those acoustics?
No. Or take the challenge to try to see if I can get enough heads to fucking pay the front the bill and not like pay any money out of pocket.
Nah, that sounds like you would totally have fun with that.
Nah, yeah, dude, totally. I would have the most fun. And that was my Saturday evening. And then like what's up?
Was it as booty as the Rock Off venue?
Oh no,
Not the show, the venue.
Well, if we're talking about the venue, that was a little bit better as a venue. No, okay. Hard to say. This is in downtown SLO, and like this venue looks sicker. It's just a big room, and the fucking price you have to pay just sucks ass. So maybe, see, like the other, the Rock Off, Cock Off venue, you had to go out in the middle of nowhere, some fucking golf course. This is not easy for fucking young nerds coming That's up and true. Like hitting fist over cash to fucking walk up a flight of stairs. No, they have to drive for that one. So
gotcha.
I will say the spot's better. But boop, am boop. I like anytime soon wanting to fucking like check it out? Nah.
No.
All right. So I am getting a fucking call. So listeners, we will take a quick break and then we will come back.
Yo, I can't hear you.
Huh? Yo, can you hear me now? Yellow.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you faintly, but you're like beyond muffled.
Yo, can you hear me now?
There you are.
Oh, I was covering it. All right. Well, as I said, we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna go into the CAR. I need to relay this phone call. So give me a second.
Okay.
All right, listeners. Back to business. So, good host Ed. It's now time for the CAR. I know, we're actually doing not just a singular review of something. We're doing two reviews. Back to trying to get a stupid stack like show again. So, good host said, what classic album did we review for today's show?
The classic album review we have classically reviewed today is a record called What's the Story? Morning Glory by Oasis, Noel Gallagher's Little Baby.
Little Baby?
And a 90s classic, and one of my dad and mine's favorite records, besides Metallica's Load. So, this is a fun record. It's just solid. You know, it's just great. We have the first song here. It's called Hello. And, you know, it's a fine enough opener. You know, it's not one of the ones I usually throw on, like when I'm feeling an Oasis hankering, but I like it. I think it gets the album off to a good pace, so I give it 6.
Alright, well for me, I thought this song was a solid opener, no more nothing less. I give it a high 6 out of 10. Solid songwriting. I hope that listening to Oasis, my opinion was like, alright, hope we get some really sick hooks here. That I'm hoping for it. Let's hear it. Now on the song 2. What's song 2, good host Ed?
Yeah, song 2 is called Roll With It. And this one I think is better than Hello. I give it another 6. It's a higher 6, but it's one of those, it's just one of those kind of like just driving songs where like debatably the verse is a little catchier than the actual chorus, but Yeah, no, I like it. It's a good song too. I will admit, I don't think these first two songs like blow you away with how awesome they are, but I do think that it's a good like double header of openers.
So what I thought about this song was, I'm not gonna lie, it's really good and really hooky, but I kind of thought the song was mid, so I just gave it a normal 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I got you.
Now no, it's going to beat my ass. Oh, yeah, the next song? Oh, the next song. What is this song? Does this song even need an introduction?
Anyway, here's Wonderwall. So, listen, I don't know what you're about to say. I don't. All I'll say is this, okay? I know it's overplayed. I know we've heard it a trillion times. I still love it. Liked 8 out of 10. I think objectively, this is a good song. And I just think, yeah, it's great. Here's a fun fact. Do you want to know what the song's about?
What?
No one knows. They asked Noel Gallagher once, and he goes, I don't fucking know what it's about, but do you know who does know what it's about? Every person in the sold-out arenas when we play all rock and roll, man. So, yeah, nobody knows.
No one knows. Well, for me, we had a silly meme where one of our friends one time...
Oh, you're going to tell this story?
I don't know how they fucking... This was, like, baffling. But they were literally at a... So, they're at a stoplight, and the gas station's literally across the fucking section. But they were on the other end of the lane of the road. So, most of the time, you would go, ah, fuck, damn it. All right, I got to just drive down the road, spin around, and I'll get back here. Our goddamn friend decides, like, oh, I'm just going to just drag race this car right next to me, just pull up right in front of him, and just straight brake as I try to pull in, and they rear-end me. And then for whatever reason, yeah, no, not seeing, he gets rear-ended, and through shock, he lets the car keep rolling, and then he go hits a parked car. And then in turn, I don't know how, you and I, the song was just somehow related, and we were just going.
And it was like, today
is gonna be the day when I'm gonna rear end you. Don't know, somehow I'm gonna drag past you. Somehow I decide to stop, and then you have rear end me somehow today.
To you
know, I don't know, but yeah, no, this song's a fucking classic. Now, obviously, maybe it's overplayed, but I live in a rock sometimes, and I do not hear the song all the time. So I give it an 8 out of 10. And obviously for the memes, I don't know why, but you and I for a good like minute we're just like, 2 days gonna be the day where I'm gonna rear end you.
Those were the only lyrics that we really had solidified, but it was usually enough to like get the laughs going. Yeah, no, this song's cool. This song's good enough, is so good that in America, like, Oasis is considered a one-hit wonder by some people because of this song. Like in Britain, like them and Blur are like considered like hallmarks of,
dude,
like,
bro, I watched the fucking
culture.
Dude, I watched the video of like them, like there was like, what, they were both gonna have an album drop at the same day, and it was like a fucking cultural phenomenon on who's gonna sell more records.
Well, because Blur represented the more like, I think it was, I could be getting the regions wrong, but Blur represented like the higher end northern, like uptight upper middle class British, but Oasis kind of had like the early Beatles vibe going, where they represented like the more blue collar, like rough and tough working class, you know, because, you know, Blur was all artsy and poppy, and, you know, Oasis has pop Elvis, but they were like, they were dirty rock and roll. So
yeah, we play a dirty, loud rock and fucking roll. Holy shit, this album was loud. Like, dude, like, so literally, I had, like, I literally had settings for us when we started recording on, like, where I had audio playing prior, and it came in, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, it's so loud.
See, I used to bitch James's ears off about the loudness war in recording.
And I just sat there, I'm like, man, quit being a fucking nerd. And then I actually listened to this album, and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is annoyingly loud.
This album is the reason why industry standard is so loud now. It's literally this album. So anyway, yeah, Wonderwall, it's a classic.
All right, tell me about song 4. What's good?
Don't Look Back in Anger. Hey, guys, look, it's Imagine. Honestly, this song rules. Another fun fact about the song. Noel Gallagher, when he wrote this song, he went to Liam Gallagher, the singer, and gave him a choice. He said, you get to choose one. Do you want to sing Wonderwall or do you want to sing Don't Look Back in Anger? This is Noel Gallagher on lead vocals and obviously Liam Gallagher saying Wonderwall. So it's just kind of interesting to think if history would have been that much different. Maybe not, but I don't know. Anyway, this one's cool. I don't know if I like it more than Wonderwall. It depends on the day. Like, Wonderwall is a simpler song. This song has a lot more going on, but I don't know if this is a hot take. Maybe Wonderwall's the better all-around song-ish, but I feel like Don't Look Back in Anger has, like, maybe the better chorus. Because, like, with Wonderwall, it's the whole thing. It's the verse leading into it that's great, you know, in the pre-chorus. This one, I just feel like that chorus just really explodes and pops. I give it a strong 7, which is less than Wonderwall, but I feel like, depending on the day, this could be the better song.
This is your choice, though. Let's say if you have it like most time you choose, you're like, honestly, I vibe with this song more. I can tell you why. Because this, to me, in my opinion, I wrote down, this song's really Beatle-rific. Like, it I know these fuckers fuck with the Beatles hardcore parkour. There's nothing wrong with that. Holy fuck, this song. I was like, this feels like it's just a Beatles worship song. But I still gave it a low 7 out of 10. It was still a really good ass song.
Another fun fact, you remember how I made that joke, hey guys, it's Imagine? That wasn't just like me making a joke because the piano sounds the same. They got called out for the piano riff being so similar, they actually had to give a writing credit to John Lennon on later reissues.
No, dude, for realsies.
Alright, next song.
On the next one. Hey, now! What's good?
Yeah, this, it kind of...
Why is there an exclamation point with this song? Is it just a statement go like, hey, now?
Yes, I don't know. You know, I feel bad for any song that has to follow Wonderwall, but then...
And then even Imagine 2? Fuck.
Yeah, but then Imagine 2 comes after. Yeah, damn. So I feel bad for any song that has to follow both of those. It's fine. I gave it a... spoiler alert. I didn't rate a song on here lower than 6. But, like, this song could almost be a 5 just because you go from the two pretty good openers to Wonderwall to Don't Look Back in Anger into this, and it's kind of like, oh, this is a good song, but this is a bit of a drop. But, yeah, I gave it a 6.
So my opinion on... Hey now, you're a rock star. Hey, different song. So, honestly, as you stated, you're like, you know what? I didn't rate any song lower than a 6. I, on the hand, do not live by Ed's standards. And I thought this song was mid and the energy was low. And honestly, fuck, this song was long too. So I just gave it a 5 out of 10.
Wasn't it like 4 minutes?
It felt long. Well, it's 5 minutes and 41 seconds.
Holy shit, are you serious? Yeah. I did not remember that.
Oh, I just looked at it right now. I don't know why. The song just felt just long. And I'm like, can it just be over already? Please. 5 out of 10 for me. So, it's the Swamp Song. What's good about it?
The Swamp Song thing is weird. It's just an interlude and like...
I agree with you, it's just an interlude. And you know what? Yeah. Or just a bit... I didn't rate it, but did you rate it?
I didn't rate them either. No, I didn't rate them either because so you can see them listed on track listings on Wikipedia and on Spotify, but I could be wrong. I swear when the album dropped, it wasn't listed like on the back of the CD or anything. And honestly, I don't even know why they're here, but they're just here. Yeah, I didn't rate them. I mean, they're kind of cool. They come out of nowhere, I just don't know why they're here. It's like, the album's not a concept record. It's not like connecting it to an overarching anything. So, I don't know. It's just the Swamp Song.
So, but now the actual next song, some might say, what's good with it?
I like this one. I give it a strong 7. I just love it. So, they're obviously a band that loves like dad rock, but this song this song is debatably the most dad rock on the album. I mean, it's one thing to be Beatle-rific, but that's like unique to Beatles. This is like pure dad rock, but it's a bunch of 20-year-olds doing dad rock. And I just really like the lyrics in this one. It's kind of simple and plotting. It doesn't like change and evolve all that much. It's, in a lot of ways, it's almost like your standard quote unquote Oasis song, TM. And I really like it, so I give it a 7.
So me for song 7, you know what, coming off, the song wasn't half bad. There was a little bit more to it compared to the last song. Maybe the last song just got fucked because it had to come off Wonderwall and Imagine 2. But either way, I gave it a 6 out of 10. Not bad. On to the next one.
Cast no shadow.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you I cast a shadow. I am looking at my shadow right now. Are you staring at your shadow?
I'm kind of... Actually, yeah, because I'm kind of... The room is a little dark, but there's a little bit of light.
So I guess you can't relate to this song, so neither can I.
I wrote, it's okay. You know, I always thought this song was just kind of there. It's a light 6 because, like, so the reason I give things 6s is when a song is like, I can't find anything bad with it. If it's boring, maybe it'll get a 5, but I don't think the song's boring. I just think it's like, okay. So it's a light 6. You know, I might be able to be convinced it's a high 5, but I'll stick with the low 6.
So I totally agree. By you saying it was boring, I thought it was meandering. But I thought it had a hook that actually didn't, like, I didn't get too bored with it.
It did, yeah.
So, you know what? This was hooky, but it also meanders. I just gave it a 6 out of 10. I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like it's offended me, and it goes into the, it starts getting a 5 territory. So, that is where I stand on Cast No Shadow. Now, She's Electric. What's good with that song?
Oh, dude, the scooter song sounds lit.
No, yo, you want me to find a script? Wait.
No, I joked with James last week. I was like, you know, I can't hear the music that you're playing. I'm like, if you want to, you can just be like, oh, what's good with this song? I'm like, oh, yeah, I really like this song. And it's just that fucking scooter song that stole the goddamn Supertramp lyric.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, She's Electric. Fun little pop rock song. It's a real toe tapper. I gave it a strong 6. It's not like one of the first songs I think of about re-listening to on this record, but it's one of the ones that when I do throw it on, I'm like, oh yeah, it's one of those songs where you throw it on and it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I like this song. So yeah, I gave it a strong 6.
You know what's weird? So I was like, was this song electric when I first saw the title? And I was like, nah, not really. But man, there's a solid hook. So yeah, you know what? I gave it a high 6 out of 10. So I guess me and Ed aligned somehow on that one. So
yeah, you know, you and I agree on things once in a while.
Every once in a while, shoot.
Sure.
All right. Tell me what's good with the next song.
Oh yeah. So next song here is the title track. What's the Story? Morning Glory.
Oh shit!
I love this song. It's another strong 7. It's just. Just everything about it for me just works. Vocal hooks, riffs, verse, pre-chorus, chorus. It's all good. So I gave it a strong 7. I almost gave it a light 8, but I was like, man, strong 7 feels more right. But yeah, I this is one of the first songs I throw on when I think of this record.
All right, that's sick. So yeah, for me, I thought the song had some energy. And you know what? It was a vibe throughout. I gave it a low 7 out of 10. So, yeah, you know what? Something, what was it? Morning Glory. I'm like brain farting what the album's called. So, tell me what's good about Swamp Song excerpt number 2.
It's there.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't rate it either. So,
sick.
On to the next one. Champagne Supernova.
Dad used to play this one a lot when I was a kid. It was one of the, it was, there was a,
I'm
was a
sorry. Dude, I'm sorry. Well, your dad's about to fight me whenever I see him again. You know, I'll just do my rating real quick. You know what? Honestly, it's not
You're
the
such
worst
a
seven.
Ass, you know that.
So this is not the worst 7 minute song, but I gave it a low 6 out of 10. So, yeah, I know. It's brutal.
You're on fucking crack, Mr. Straight Edge. This is an H. I love this song. Yes, it gets a little long, but come on,
the length was killing me.
It's the last song on the album.
And it was killing me because I was like, I'm ready for this to be over.
I mean, sure. It's 12 tracks technically, but come on. It's like a 45, 50 minute record. It's a pop rock record. It's in and out. It's epic rocking, like wannabe ripoff Beatles Phil Spector wall of sound going on. You know, it's like the lyrics and chorus are memorable. It's great. It's great. I mean, come on. How do you beat some of those lyrics? Walking down the hall faster than a cannonball. Like, what does that mean, dude? Nobody knows what it means, but it's a good lyric.
I think also this,
I love the song.
So I don't know. Maybe I should re-listen and actually pay attention to the lyrics more. I was in the middle of transit.
To the lyrics. I'm just saying that's one of the things I like about it.
Yeah, no. I came into Oasis going like, I want some good hooky lyrics. I want sick wordplay. And you know what? I said it delivered. Now, was it like the most? I'm just like, dude, I'm fucking, my mind is like blown on like, they're just lyricsy. It was insane. Nah. But there was a couple bangers. There were a couple banger songs on this album. So I say, you know what? It's worth the listen. But it's fucking loud.
Oh, yeah. Definitely keep your volume at mid. You know what the sad thing is? Oasis has like 8 albums, but this is just straight up where they peak. It's really just if anyone's out here, it's like, oh, I'm gonna put up Oasis.
So which album is this in their catalog?
This is their second record.
So they peaked at their second record. They didn't pull an Exodus and peaked on their first record. So.
Good friend Dylan,
he's like, nah, dude, the re-recording of that album was like 10 times sicker. What are you fucking talking about? I'm like, nah.
The first time he told me that, I felt like punching him in the dick. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's almost completely inferior.
Yeah. But either way,
the sick reverb.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about Exodus. We're talking about Oasis. I'm like spacing. Did you hit your full summary on this? Like, listen.
Yeah, I mean, I got to it throughout. I forgot to get to my score though. Out of a score of 100, it got a 67. This is an above average record that I encourage you all to listen to. And if any of you were curious, well, do you recommend Oasis as a whole? I recommend their first 2.5 albums. Their third album has a lot of underrated stuff, but it's like 20 or so minutes longer than this one.
Oh.
And a lot of the stuff, dude, there's like, I could be wrong about this. I think there's like 2 9-minute songs.
Dude.
So yeah, they peaked here. They had like 6 more albums after this. Just listen to the first 3, and then if you want, go listen to their solo careers. Liam Gallagher's solo career does like a lot of fun like pop rock stuff, and then Noel Gallagher's all about like pretty artsy sound spaces. So old man and Gallagher. So they both got their appeal.
They got their own. They do their own thing. I'm about to say, I think like the vocal wasn't like the vocalist. People gave a fuck about him more, but like the actual songwriter, that like the other brother, he just wrote the better songs.
So it's actually kind of interesting.
I looked at the credits, and it was all just
Noel Gallagher. Yep. So it's actually kind of interesting to sum it up really quickly. Basically, after Noel Gallagher left Oasis, his solo career showed a lot of promise because, you know, it was like this big, artsy, unfiltered, you know, interesting rock project. And Liam Gallagher kind of struggled for a while because him and the rest of the Oasis guys formed a band called BDI, which kind of leads into some shoegazy rock. It wasn't like actual.
Well, this song feels like it's fucking shoegazy, so.
Yeah. So it leads into that, but his voice has been shot. Just a whole bunch of stuff. But then when he made a comeback with his solo albums, which I think all 3 of his solo albums debuted at #1 in the UK, then opinion shifted. The younger people in the UK area, like the kids, they love Liam Gallagher. The older heads prefer Noel Gallagher, and so yeah, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, so people went from being like, oh, Liam Gallagher, his brother made him. He's a nobody. He basically got the Ringo Starr treatment, but then he actually made his comeback, and people were like, yo, Liam Gallagher's fucking sick, dude. Noel Gallagher was lucky to have him, and then Noel Gallagher just scowled deeper and deeper.
Damn, crazy.
He opened up for Garbage when me and my dad saw him at like Santa Barbara Bowl.
Oh shit, dude, really?
Yeah, that dude doesn't smile. He opened up for Garbage and he doesn't smile. He just scowls all the time. He's just so angry and bitch.
Word. Oh god. Should we go? Is it time? Should we go? Should we start cruising into the main event?
Let's cruise into the main event.
All right. Like, dude, Champagne Supernova still like was still playing. Don't worry. Now the music's off. Now is the music off. Now we take the time to sit back and relax as we now then roll into the main event. Oh,
so
yeah. What
would
you want to
talk about?
So what you want to talk about? Well,
so
on our makeshift Dwayne the Rock Johnson marathon, we have decided that as for his middle era movie, which I still feel like is a little bit early era, but since it's like people think this movie sucks a lot, it was worth the watch. So we watched 2005's Doom, based off the id Software, like friggin', like, you know, critically acclaimed.
The big motherfucker of first person shooters, as Angry Video Game Nerd called it.
Yeah, i.e. Doom.
Doom. So, spoiler alert here. This is a Rock movie, and it's very... Rock has... I didn't get all of them, but Rock has some very fun, hammy line reads. And also, spoiler alert, this is a movie that had a lot of walking around in the dark, which I did transcribe in the notes.
Which, I will tell you one thing.
Holy shit, there was so much walking around in the dark.
And holy shit, this movie was fucking dark.
Yeah, it was like, and we're not talking about tone. Like, you couldn't see. My TV, I had to like, on my phone, I watched it. I started on TV. I switched to my phone. Max brightness on my newish phone could barely see shit sometimes. Even on my TV here in the dorm, I had the brightness turned up. It was at a point where I couldn't turn it up anymore without it just glaring. Because, like, it was so dark.
Dude, this fucking movie was dark. And I like, so.
Did they just not have a budget?
So, just like Scorpion King last time, this was another movie I've seen a decent amount of times because on television. But this was a movie that Good Host.
I've never seen this movie. I always wanted to, but I've never
Did you ever
seen
see? It. Yeah, and you didn't see Scorpion King either.
Well, I think I saw it, like, in passing because I think my dad watched it a few times. Because Dad was vaguely aware of The Rock back in the day, but he didn't think much of him. In fact, I think I remember my dad saying once, like, around the time Tooth Fairy came out, he said, he's never going to be a big thing in Hollywood. Well.
Well, he eventually found his formula and then burned it the fuck out.
Oh, he burned it out.
Hey, right. I'm just saying, Hollywood likes a big, muscly, a fun, muscly, one-dimensional muscle man every now and then that just has easy-to-watch, fun movies. Now, The Rock here was a little bit more leaned out. He was a little bit more juiced up in The Scorpion King than he was here. But I think this was serious Rock era where he tried to really
get serious.
This is when he tried to really go into Hollywood and try to lean down and not be as all buff. Then decide to fucking go back in the opposite direction.
Because at this point, he hadn't been wrestling for what, 2-3 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So our movie opens up in fucking space, bro, and we hear
fucking space, bro.
We hear opening narration. It basically says, "Hey, we found a portal to Mars." Opening logo.
Opening logo. So, yeah, we just they just talk about we found a portal to Mars in the middle of the Nevada desert, and now we're here. Nevada. And then we open up to seeing scientists running for their lives. Looking like a Blumhouse horror film with some of the editing.
One of them was named
Is this 13 Ghosts?
Oh my God. One of them was named Dr. Carmack. That was pretty cute. Because John Carmack is the name of one of the original designers for Doom.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm surprised there was no John Romero because he was like the other big name. But so he sends off an emergency message.
This dude's a bitch. Like, there was like a chick literally running, and he just decided to close the door on her, and her arm reached through the door, and then she got fucking dragged off by who knows what.
After her arm got cut off by the door, by the door.
Then this dude, you know, has an emergency broadcast, and then I think next is we roll up on a fucking shirtless Dwayne the Rock Johnson with a big.
That's exactly what I wrote.
With a fucking big Semper Fi tattoo on the back on him, and I'm just like, Yeah, he looks a little bit more. He looks a little bit smaller compared to Scorpion King. So
he's getting his
watch. It's gonna be fucking jarring when we get to fucking Black Adam. He's gonna be fucking ginormous.
Yeah, see the big giant goddamn veins in his head.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, his head's his head's not veiny here. Well,
yeah,
it gets veiny later.
Yeah, stay tuned. So he's getting his orders, you guys, and we meet his team. A bunch of wacky goobers that, except for two of them, I don't remember the names for. I remember Reaper, I remember Kid, and that's about it.
I remember Duke, I remember Destroyer, I remember Portman. That was the really annoying guy. And then I think...
Was that the creepy white guy?
Yeah, the really creepy, like, pointy white guy. And then there was the Christian dude. I think his name was Goat. So...
Okay. So, just for fun, I did catch a bit of dialogue from them. They're waiting for their R&R, and the creepy white guy said, quote unquote, "I'm going to lock myself in a hotel room with a bottle of tequila and three girly boys." Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. He's going to go to Thailand and he's going to get buck wild. And then everyone's like, "Man, you're disgusting. Can you just leave already?"
2005, everybody.
Yeah, and it's like, "Man, you're disgusting. Can you leave already?" But uh-oh, SpaghettiO, Dwayne The Rock Johnson comes in. He goes, "Sorry, guys. There's an emergency on Mars. We need to roll out." And we're like, "Aw, we're about to go on vacation. Fuck."
So Rock and the homies load up, and they just go to Mars. We have scenes of them.
Hey, there was a little tension, though. Our main man, Reaper, i.e. Carl Urban, which I was like, "Oh, fuck, that's Carl Urban." No AKA fucking way.
That dude from The Boys.
Dude, he was in fucking Lord of the Rings, too. And he was fucking Judge Dredd in, like, the 2012 movie, I think.
I always forget he was Judge Dredd in that remake.
Bro, dude, this dude's done some high-level nerd shit. Like, honestly, I think he's more claimed out than fucking Dwayne. So,
I mean, Dwayne was never in Lord of the Rings. Dwayne
just made more money.
I'm just saying, Dwayne was never in Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's a very prestigious bunch.
Yeah.
So they just go to Mars, and we see.
Well, we also see that, like, well, I still want to bring in our main man Reaper. There's just that little bit of story where he's like, "Are you sure you want to go to Mars?" And we get this thing going, like, something happened on Mars. What happened with Reaper and related to Mars? But Reaper goes, like, "You know what? I'm going to go. I feel like I need to go to Mars." And he says the quote, "I'm going to go face my demons." Sometimes you should just go face your demons or whatever he said. And it's like,
demons, because it's doom.
All right. So I just remember they fly off.
One line I heard said, someone was like, I think someone asked Rock, they're like, "What's the threat?" And then he responds with, "It's trying to kill you. It's a threat."
No. Okay. No, they goes like, "When will I know?" Like, yeah, I think it's the kid goes like, "When will I know it's a threat?" And he goes like, someone goes like, "If it tries to kill you, it's a threat." Well, thank you.
All this enriching bonding dialogue lasts about 30 seconds before they touch down. And they go into the facility. "You hesitate. People die." Serious Dwayne Johnson says.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Yeah, see, this isn't The Rock in this movie. Scorpion King was The Rock. This is Dwayne Johnson. I think he was actually credited as Dwayne Johnson.
No, he's credited as The Rock.
Oh,
just
he is? Okay.
The Rock. He wasn't Dwayne The Rock
Johnson.
Wait, are
you seriously? They didn't call him Dwayne The Rock Johnson like they did later? It was just The Rock?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's great. So, could you imagine if in those Stone Cold Steve Austin movies they just credited him as Stone Cold? They called him Steve Austin. They didn't call him Stone Cold. Oh, man.
Anyway, that'd be a fucking trip to watch a Stone Cold movie. Fuck.
Yeah, I only remember two he was in, that Longest Yard remake and then that one where he had to play the weird survival game. I don't know.
Something like that.
So they go to the facility and they meet the scientists and get told the situation. They get told, "Hey, do you see that thing in the center there? Yeah, that's the Ark. That's the portal to Mars. Don't fuck with it." And then they go to the portal. They meet a nerdy tech guy nicknamed Pinky. Yeah, real clever guys.
Yeah, and he's a weird looking dude because he has like he's like a hybrid cyborg man. I.e., he lost his legs as they went through the Ark, and the Ark just kind of teleports you places. And he goes sometimes happens in the Ark. So what happened was I got split in half by the Ark, and this is why I'm in a wheelchair, and I'm also a douchebag. So deal with it. I was like, cool, Pinky, cool.
They go into the real facility for real now. Meet the survivors. The creepy white guy, because it's 2005.
Yeah, he goes
upon the surviving women.
Yeah, he's just like, "Hey, what's up, ladies? I'm here to check out what's going on with the quarantine. I'm gonna need a strip search." And you're like, and all these ladies are like, "Yeah, whatever, back off." And then there was another lady, which is like, "Oh, we could tell she's a main character." He comes up and he was like, "Hey, I'm going to need to strip search you." And then you have Dwayne going, "Hey, shut the fuck up. I need to talk to her." And they talk to her. And then we realize, uh-oh, fucking our main man Reaper, he knows her. And then we got horny man Duke goes like, "Damn, you hit that?" And he's like, "That's my sister." Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't remember anyone's name, I just
Duke was the more smoother horny man. He wasn't the white horny man. He was the black horny man.
You're right. Because I couldn't remember their names, I specifically called Reaper and Sam, the woman. I called them brother and sister. Which, yeah, they're brother and sister, but their dialogue is just really sus. Anyway,
Well, I can't say this movie had the best dialogue now, did it?
No. So that's right.
Continue reviewing that bitch-ass movie.
So, sister and her very wooden acting accompany Rock and his team.
I'm about to say, I feel like she's been in some, bigger movies, too, the sister chick.
I didn't catch her name.
I swear I've seen her face in other movies before.
Oh, that's the white blonde lady. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have seen that before in American
cinema. Yeah, I'm sure I have. I'm just saying. I'm gonna look up a movie that she might have been in.
So they're surveying the area, and nothing happens for a while. They see a bunch.
I think they do a lot of surveying in the area. Mostly,
this is one of the first main instances of walking through dark rooms.
Dude, it's literally just them walking through dark rooms. And I remember looking at them like, yeah, I might have been young and have more patience, but holy fuck. Shit is not happening. They're just walking in darkness and walking in darkness while pointing guns.
Well, you see, geez,
and walking in darkness.
It's supposed to build tension. Ooh.
Well, it does build tension.
But they don't do it from cinematography or through music or for physical character stage blocking. They just turn the lights down.
Yeah. While walking and nothing happening. Walking. But then something and might then, happen, but nothing really happened. So more then walking.
Then they eventually do what Vector in the Shadow the Hedgehog game was trying to do. They find the computer room and she starts downloading stuff. This will be important later.
All right, so I gotta download shit, and you're like, "Oh, son of a bitch, you gotta download shit." Okay.
And this is this takes place in the 2070s, but we're still but the movie's working with the 2006 technology, so that shit was taking a while. So we see some more scenes of the team bonding and walking. Nothing happens for a while.
Yeah, just bonding.
Rock sees the BFG. On a computer screen.
Yeah, and he tries to go get it, and you're like, "Hey, yo, dude, a Doom reference. No fucking way. It's not like this is a Doom movie, but hopefully it's the BFG. So, one movie that I'm talking about, the sister chick I found. So, she was in Die Another Day. So, I know that.
Oh.
And then she was in the Johnny English movies, and in Jack Reacher. Oh, yeah. So, I'm still looking through some other shit, too, that might be in note. A lot of British shit. I can tell you that. It's a lot of weird British shit.
Die Another Day pisses me off because I love that Bond movie, but I've seen so many people be like, "Oh, that's one of Bond's worst movies." I'm like, "Are you fucking? Did you not watch Quantum of Solace?"
Yeah, I guess she was Boss Baby too. So, but other than that, okay, I guess that's the most notable movies I'm seeing right now, and other stuff that I definitely not have seen that most likely. Created most likely might be acclaimed or something. I don't know.
Then one of the soldiers.
Oh yeah, she was in Wrath of the Titans, but I never saw that one.
Was that the sequel to the Clash of the Titans remake?
Yeah.
Okay. Then one of the soldiers gets separated from the others. He gets spooked by another soldier. False alarm.
Oh, false alarm, guys! False alarm. Back and walking in darkness.
Well, sister shows off the data to brother.
Yeah, this is what they're talking about. It's like, so check it.
Yeah, they're just like they're having like an actual bonding moment, and he's like, we have the brothers like, dude, I don't care what's going on, and she's like, yo, check it, what did dad teach us? And I'm like, yeah, what did dad teach you? And he goes, look at the chromosomes. Yeah, most humans have 23, but look at this, a 24th chromosome. Crazy. I think the people before used to be like an advanced civilization. They were able to cure disease. Who knows? Some crazy shit like that.
And
you're like,
and I was like, your dad told you that?
No. I think their dad told him to always look at the chromosomes.
Oh, okay.
Not dive into like, so, not even go like, oh yeah, dude, look at if these people were like some like advanced civilization. I think the gist was just look at the chromosomes, but check out this extra chromosome, which I'm like, all right, finally something that isn't walking in the fucking darkness. Thank God,
It's funny you mention that because after this cutscene of them talking, back to the dark, scurry hallways.
Yeah, back in the dark, scurry hallways.
And they get jump scared by each other again. Another false alarm.
Did we get to the point where fucking Portman, the creepy white dude, and the kid were like talking? And the kid's like, "I'm nervous. Do you got something that can like break the edge?" And he like, gives
That's right. Yeah, he gives him. Yeah, he gives him space drugs.
Yeah, he gives him space drugs. He gave him military speed or something. I don't know.
Eventually, I forget which one, but one of the soldiers comes across a bloodied up dude. I believe this is Dr. Carmack.
Hey, dude, it's our main man Carmack. Yeah, and it's like, and he's holding a fucking that arm earlier. I don't know why.
Yeah, making weird hissing sounds, kind of like the creature from Splice. Also, he tore off his own ear.
Yeah, he just randomly decided to tear off his own ear, and everyone's like, yeah, we're going to need to take you to the med bay. I think like, that'd be somewhere.
Something seems wrong with him.
Yeah, I would go like, hey, I don't think this guy's good anymore. Yeah, I wouldn't take him to the med bay, but it's like, oh no, we need to take him to the med bay, make sure he's good, and he just drops the arm. Remember the arm, children. Remember that arm. That might play into a factor later.
Oh, and remember this, too. So after they see Mr. Carmack, and actually it was right after this that the kid takes the space drugs, more walking in the dark.
Jesus Christ.
Nothing happens for a while again, outside from like a barrel randomly falling down the stairs.
Yeah, yeah, that's our main man Goat. He just goes like, "God damn!" And he's and then he decides. Who got this? You and me.
You go.
All right, let me tell you about my main man Goat. He's a very religious man. So when he accidentally kicked over this can or barrel, he goes, "God damn!" And he realizes, "Uh oh. I have said the Lord's name in vain." So he then decides to take a knife and like, you see, there's a bunch of scars. Like he looks like he's unfortunately some sad emo child, like stereotype that cuts their arms. But I guess he decides to cut a fucking cross in his arm. And then we have Reaper, i.e. Carl Urban, go, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I said the Lord's name in vain. I have to punish myself."
Could you
and then Carl Urban just like turns slowly around and just continues walking into more darkness, pointing his gun.
Could you imagine how many times you and me would have to like cut ourselves if we had to do that for every time we say goddamn just for an episode of the podcast alone, never mind our personal lives.
I'm just saying, like, my arms might look like Dusty Rhodes' forehead if that was the case.
By the way, after this, nothing happens for a while until they see a naked lady with huge boobs.
Yeah, and of course it has to be the kid and Portman. And then Portman goes like, "There is a God." And then like, and they're just like sitting there. And Portman just wants to stare at this naked booty. But then the kid goes like, "Hey, excuse me, man." And then Portman's like, "Oh, God damn it!" But then when she sees, she doesn't have her arm, and she's fucking crazy. And then she lunges at them, and the kid and Portman shoots her down. And we're like, "Oh, I guess that was the lady from the beginning of the movie. Look at that!" And the Rock goes like, and as the Rock was like, "Hey, report what happened. I think we found the lady that lost her arm. Well, what happened to her? Well, she came at us, and we shot her down. Well, God damn it! Because I think they need information."
And two of the other soldiers come across another freaky bloody dude eating rats, and then they shoot him.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And this was actually kind of played earlier. Because earlier, they were marking each room that they went through, saying that it was safe. But then they go like, oh, hey, I guess there's movement back in this fucking animal research lab. They go back in the animal research lab, and all the animals that were there before, yes, there were animals there before. I know we totally just missed it, but I don't know, when this, a lot of the movies walking in darkness, sometimes you forget little details.
It was one of the random jump scares earlier that they, that it was one of the false alarms that they experienced earlier.
But either way, they see all these cages ripped apart, just blood, gore everywhere, which then I'm like, damn, this movie's fucking gory. I didn't realize but I'm like, damn, this movie's gory. Like, dude, we got fucking gut. We got like freaking organs hanging out and about on these fucking cages. And I'm like, damn, that is wild. And then we see a bloody
YouTube had the unrated version. I'm like, there's no way this movie released like anything less than rated R. So like, how tame was the rated R version? Because this got pretty gutsy. Anyway, after they gunned down the dude that was eating rats, this is where I decided to write here in my notes. I'm like, bro, where are the demons?
Watch. Is this when we're like 30, 40 minutes in?
Yeah, and you know what happens?
No, we
next?
Just see like
more
we
walking.
Yeah, I know. After so listeners, just take a moment. What have we got so far? We've learned that
they went to Mars.
They went to Mars. There might be an extra chromosome that plays into the plot later. There's people that get infected and act crazy, and a lot of walking in darkness. I think we're good.
What is this, a Resident Evil game?
Also, I think there was maybe like Destroyer and some other dude. They walked in a room and there was like, what is this room? And like, I think it's a containment chamber. Yeah, it was Portman. And he goes like, what do you mean it's a containment chamber? Touch the wall. Touches it. It's electric wall. I was like, God damn it. I got shocked. You knew that was going to happen. Yeah. Sorry you didn't know it was electric wall, nerd. So this is what we know of the movie so far. I think that might play in the part, might play into stuff later in the movie. Now, where are we at? Sorry, I had to catch up.
More walking and there's a jump scare
damn,
with a monkey.
That's fucking insane. A monkey jump scare and more walking in darkness? Damn.
Dr. Carmack has really funky blood, they find out.
Well, we saw the monkeys bleeding and it had funky blood. And then they go to Dr. Carmack where he has funky, chunky blood. So he's got that funky, monkey, chunky blood right there.
The other brass monkeys then come across an actual monster, and now things are picking up because then randomly, somehow, I don't freaking know how, Dr. Carmack just disappears.
Yeah, he just disappears.
More walking, and now they're walking in water.
Oh, so this is when they go like, hey, something went down in the sewers, and this is when they're walking, but it's darkness, and now there's water. And then at first, Portman fucking falls in a hole, and they're like, oh my God, what happened? Oh, and then Portman goes like, guys, I fell in the hole. And then you got Dwayne the Rock Johnson going like, I'm so annoyed right now. Can you just continue?
Watch your goddamn footing. Thank you, Rock.
Thank you. But then eventually our main man, Goat, our very religious man, he just randomly sees like two pairs of eyes in the middle of darkness. And this is like a pitch dark. But then you see these two eyes and you're like, oh man, that's creepy. And then he gets fucking attacked. And then he gets fucking like a fucking weird tongue leech fucking lodges straight into his neck, and I'm like, that is gnarly looking. Yeah. And I think this fucking, I know, I can't remember if they actually gunned down the monster here. What happened?
So after he bites him, they rush back to him, and like, monster just kind of ran away.
Really? I thought like they killed the monster because then like the Rock dragged it in like later.
Well, I thought they shot at it, but I don't know. I couldn't tell because everything was too fucking dark.
Yeah, I guess it was too fucking dark. Now, was it?
But and this was the real freaky part. Its tongue, it like leaves its body and it's just stuck in its neck and in the dude's neck.
Yeah, and our main man Goat's neck. So I think it gets affected that way.
They rush him back to the others for medical treatment, and then they force all the survivors through the portal.
Yeah, so as they go like, hey, we need to evacuate everyone. Shit is buck wild, and I have now two men that have died on me. So
yeah, and they can't say they
wait.
Can't
well,
save
have like two dudes died
go.
Yet? No. I think it's only this one dude that's died.
Yeah. So Rock goes basically, Doctor, you're gonna tell me what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, he just goes on this fucking crazy ass rant, and then like I don't know. I'm just retrieving the data.
He's like, what's all this freaky monster shit?
And she's like, I don't know. I'm just an archaeologist. I'm just here to just dig and fucking dust things.
Duke, I think, is the one that stays behind with the doctor while she's doing an autopsy.
Yeah. Like, they're doing like the autopsy. I think they did kill that fucking monster in the fucking series. I know. Great. I know.
Okay. Whoops.
It don't matter either way. They're like sitting there and Duke's getting flirty. He's getting away with it. He's like,
He decides now's a good time to get flirty when she is, and I'm not even joking, elbow deep in demon guts.
Yeah, she's like elbow deep in like alien demon guts, and he's just like sitting there and just like she goes like, you know what? I feel like you might be. I feel like you might have a surprise big heart. And he's like, you know what else is a big surprise on me? And then she's like,
penis, you guys.
Maybe. I don't know. It was never said out loud. But then she's just like sitting there while working, doing an autopsy on this demon. She's like, hey, can you go grab the friggin' bone? Can you go grab the power bone saw for me? And he thought she was flirting with him. He's like, whoa, call me the power bone saw? And he's like, no, I need you to actually go get the power bone saw. Oh.
He's like, oh.
Damn, I thought you were talking about saying I was going to be a power bone saw. So our main man, Duke, the power bone saw. Does he go get the power? Does he go
Duke
run off?
Duke the power bone saw. Yeah, he leaves and like goes.
She's just working on. Yeah, she's working on this fucking autopsy for a straight minute.
Back with Rock, we get one of the best cheesier lines in the movie, where I think it's the creepy white dude who's pissed that they aren't like that. Rock isn't calling for reinforcements.
It's like, dude, we should really call reinforcements.
Rock goes. We are the reinforcements.
We're under quarantine and we're not allowed anything in or out. Understand? He's like, oh, come on. I'm scared. Dwayne.
Back with the doctor, she goes to check on the dude, Duke, who went to get the bone saw.
Yeah, she's like, dude, where's Duke? Yeah, dude, where's the power bone saw, man?
And they get attacked by a monster that almost gets them, and they almost get to their hideout.
Oh, yeah, there's nanodors. Oh, I think we forgot to mention that. But there's nanodors.
I wrote it here. So their hideout is behind a nano wall, which if I remember right, the demons can't like or aren't supposed to be able to pass through. But this thing partially could.
Well, here's the thing about a nano wall. It like becomes like walkable and then you just you like seal it where it becomes solid.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, I think our main man Duke's like, I don't fuck with like nano walls. And in this situation, we see because when the nano wall seals up, the fucking demon's just fucking stuck right in the middle of this nano wall. After they got the power bone saw.
And then I think this is Carl Urban who's walking through the hallway and he hears the voices of children and then slaughter.
You know what? Somebody. I think they were. So if we're talking about this scene, they were at the archaeological dig. And we finally get more exposition on our main man Reaper, i.e. Carl Urban. Him and his sister, their parents, were archaeologists. And I think they were actually working on Mars when it was first being discovered. And both their parents died in an archaeological accident. And I think that's what we hear the children screaming as their parents were dying. And then, like, just have Dwayne come up and say, so is this where it happened?
Yeah, it's real tactful, Dwayne. I don't know why my notes jumped this far ahead, but the next thing I wrote was, then about 2 minutes later, a demon punches a dude's head off.
Yep. Yeah, we're just seeing, like, one of our main men that was actually guarding Pinky earlier, but then, like, Dwayne's like, I need your help. Pinky, here's a gun and some grenades. You are now security man for the door, for the Ark. And he's like, I don't know how to shoot a gun. I don't have legs. I'm not a
soldier.
I'm not a soldier.
I don't have legs.
But either way, we just see this one dude named Mac because he had this long, because he has a long like Japanese name. But they're just like, why'd they call you Mac? And he said his name, and he was like, so I now know why they call you Mac. Okay, now Mac dies.
It was only kind of racist. So then two of them stay behind while the Rock goes to get sicker gear. Back with the autopsy, they're doing an autopsy. And a possessed human is like in another room.
Yeah, no, that's our main man Goat, the Christian man who fucking decided to cut himself earlier because he said the God's name in vain. He just comes up and he's all scary, but then he just bangs his head to death on the fucking window.
Next scene. Creepy white guy takes a dump.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Poor man's like, you know, I need to go take a shit. Next scene.
The Rock finds the BFG and he goes, big fucking gun.
Actually, you remember that arm that I was like,
shit.
Yeah, so remember that fucking
arm? That's what he says.
I know.
Aw, shit.
He's like, big fucking gun. Aw, shit.
I've never heard Rock cuss so much.
I don't know. This was an unrated movie, so maybe just allow more cussing and gore. Yeah, so remember that arm I was like talking about? Yeah, so Rock wanted to try to get the BFG earlier, but he didn't have like the clearance for it. So he jacked the arm to get the clearance machine, to have it work on the clearance machine. And then he rolled up and he's like, big fucking gun. Fuck
yeah. Funny. You know what's funny? That's one of those things that like, there's a couple plot points in this movie that like, weirdly enough, align with like the 2016 Dune game. But I'm trying to remember, did you have to like grab a disembodied hand to open up a gate in any of the other games?
I've never played Doom 3, so I couldn't tell you.
So next scene, bathroom, pitch black, walking around. This is where I wrote in my notes, oh my God, this has to have more walking around than Catch the Black Sunshine.
I don't know. Here's the thing about Catch the Black Sunshine. They would be walking and then some scene development and then more walking and then some scene development and more walking.
And then sometimes they would cut from the walking to more walking.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So then, yeah. So walking around, creepy white guy is taking his shit. Nothing happens. Then we see a monster sneak up on a soldier and just kind of chuck him around.
No, dude, like literally like this fucking demon monster grabs him right from like the top of the stall and up and through the fucking like ceiling, and he's just fucking twirling him around like a rag doll. But then we got Dwayne with his big fucking gun. Comes in and he blasts it, and we can see how the big fucking gun works.
Yeah, and then a monster attacks a dude who... Did I miss something? He was defending himself by swinging around a like monitor on a wire.
So, well, I could tell you this. Well, obviously he's being ragdolled around. You see a camera shot that fucking Pinky was like seeing his like body camera, his gun cam, and he sees him just being fucking flinged around. But Pinky goes like, "Man, fuck that guy. Who cares?" And then, and that's why I said, that's when Dwayne comes in with the big fucking gun. And then fucking shoots it, and it's like a weird plasma fucking blast where it just fucking deteriorates, like, where it shoots. Pretty wild.
Yeah, the dude makes a comeback, and he kicks the monster's ass with a pipe, but then he kind of just falls.
Wait, are you talking about Destroyer?
I think so.
I thought you were talking about the creepy white dude. Are we past that point?
I'll be honest, I just read my notes verbatim.
All right, so I think rewind. So now we see our main man Destroyer. He was the Gatling gun guy. If you ever need to figure it out, yeah, he starts going one on one with a fucking monster, and they go into the containment area with the electric fence, and they're fucking like slinging each other into the electric fence and shit. Even at one point, takes a fucking giant fucking vent hose, and he like pins the monster up on the fence while also on the other end put it on the other side of the fence. So there's this one conducting rod going through this monster, but this monster I guess could fucking handle electricity because Raya's Destroyer was climbing up this chain to get out of this containment cell. Nope, he gets yanked down and he's just dead. It must have been a long fall. Yeah, so our main man Destroyer died from fall damage. Pretty wild scene.
Oh my god, yeah, it was.
I know it wasn't fucking walking in darkness. At least we now had a fight in darkness.
Yeah, right. So the next so after that happens, oh shit. More walking around in the dark.
Damn.
Creepy white guy is low on ammo. Walking.
I thought the creepy white dude die.
No, this is so. Well, the way my notes are structured, he's still in the bathroom. I think it was.
I jumped in earlier, going like, "Oh yeah, he died in the bathroom." Oh
god damn it!
Yeah, that's why I was tripping. Are we now at the fucking creepy white dude getting like dying in the bathroom? Yeah,
a monster looms ominously. He sneaks out of the room, readies his gun. There's a rat. Oh whoops, no big deal. Lol. Bam! Now the monster grabs him by the face. And just drags his ass all around the facility.
Yeah, he just drags him all. Dude, just kind of.
Then Rock shoots him with the BFG, the big fucking gun.
Hell yeah! Oh shit! And then we see how the BFG works, and you're like, man, that thing's wild.
Yeah.
Now we're back to business. We lost ourselves. I'm just saying, when the movie is a lot of walking in darkness, we sometimes might get lost.
This show has more darkness than Kingdom Hearts. They take the departed to the med bay and discuss how their situation is fucked.
Yeah.
Rock is like, hey, what is going on? What were you doing? And she's like, well, it must have been some kind of mutation. And then Rock is giving into the hate. he puts a bullet in Dr. Carmack and tells his remaining men to go back to
fucking demon earlier that got caught in the nano wall. They go like, he goes like, where the fuck's Dr. Carmack? Well, look at the monster Zier behind us. That's Dr. Carmack. I guess there's a fucking mutation. And then Rock goes like, I'm just gonna kill it. And she's like, no, don't kill it. We can maybe reverse it. No, there's no reversing the situation. Not while I'm here. Deal with it.
So he tells his remaining men to go back to prior locations and make sure that the dead scientists from earlier are actually dead.
Are we getting to the point where she then shows data of like experiment video?
Yeah, this is the lore drop. To sum it up, they did so it to sum it up shortly, they did some science that was fucking nuts. To sum it up,
well, here's the thing. I think it's playing with the 24th chromosome. They're experimenting with it. And then we found out that it mutates people.
Basically, yeah, they conducted human experiments on people by reconstructing the 24th chromosome. And
we see in the video. I would just say, well, here's the thing. We see on this video, like, they're doing an experiment on a convicted criminal that's set for execution. So that's why they didn't care.
Yeah, so some people, it turned them into 6 super soldiers. Some people, well, it fucked them up.
Yeah, it turns them into fucking doom demons. So, yeah, crazy.
So, Rock wants to take the data back because that's their job. That's the thing.
We have Carl Urban goes like, we need to destroy the data. No one should ever know about this 24th chromosome nonsense. And then the Rock then decides to go on a fucking heel turn because the whole entire time he's trying to, like, I don't know. This is where he becomes psychotic. He's like, we have orders. We have a mission. We were told to bring this shit back and make sure the quarantine is successful. And Carl Urban's going like, that's a bad move, dude. I think that's a bad idea. And the Rock's like, well, I'm in charge and I'm a fucking psychopath. So deal with it.
The other soldiers are making sure that the dead scientists are dead. But they see that one body is missing.
He's like,
Tiki apparently ditched everybody also at this point.
Sorry, I'm having a coughing fit.
And then, Rock gets in touch with all his guys, and he's like, "All right, grab all the ammo you can. We're pilgrims. We're going to war."
Well, no. So are we at the part where like all the people that left through the arc, Pinky? Yeah, that's right. Pinky was fucking. Something was breaking through the fucking like door into the like arc room. And then Pinky decided to disappear. So is this when they like come up and go like, all right, when we get back on Earth, we're killing fucking everyone. We're not allowing this infection going out anywhere. And he's like, huh? And then like, they're talking about
Rock gives Carl Urban like 3 minutes to go get.
Yeah, his because sister. That's the thing. There, it's like the fucking arc has to take a little like cool down reset. So they have like 6 minutes. And then the Rock goes like, well, Carl Urban. You got like 3 or 4. Runs back, talks to his fucking like sister. Is like, dude, we need to get the fuck out of here now. And she's like, no. Check this. Yo, here's some crazy info dump. Check it. Look at this tongue and look at this. If you're a shitty person, the tongue wants to infect and react to you. But if you're a good person, then it doesn't fuck with you. I would feel like that relates with the choice. Yeah, I was like,
quite what she said, but.
Yeah, well, that's literally how fucking stupid it is.
Yeah, no, basically, so to add on to what James is saying, the mutations, everybody, they're sentient, alive, and they're choosing who to infect. Basically, it's space fox die. It chooses who to infect based on certain parameters. So some superhumans. Some of them, it turns into monsters.
Yeah. So if you're an evil, shitty person, you turn into a bad, shitty person, you turn into a monster. But if you're kind of a cool person, shit, you become a badass.
But if you're pure of heart, you too can go Super Saiyan.
Yeah. So
then Carl Urban is like, oh, shit, we got to go. Sarge wants to kill everybody.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. But what's bounced out? And then she's like grabbing like a fucking 24 chromosome little vial. And he's like, don't take that. And he's like, well, we need to research this about. And I was like, all right, whatever. Time's running out. Fuck it. I don't care. Let's just get the fuck out of here.
Back with Rocky, he literally tells the like one or two soldiers that he's still with, if it breathes, kill it. They're trying to make the system of the station, like, you know, do things to help them, but it's like down right now.
Yeah.
They go around double tapping bodies.
So, oh, what you're talking about. So, yeah, they go. Now they're finally back on Earth. They go to the computer and they want to set the quarantine time on, like, the lockdown doors to six, set it back to 6 hours. But right now it's only set to an hour. And he goes, like, well, sorry, these infected people are also rocket scientists. So I guess they locked our dumb fucking marine asses out. Well, so we got an hour to fucking kill everyone. Let's get killing.
And then we cut to Rock murdering everyone.
Yeah, he's just fucking full bore, just going for it.
As his soldiers are trying to tell him not to. So that's
fun. No, there's like a dude like popping out. I was like, dude, I'm fine, I'm not infected, bro. I'm totally fine. And Rock just shoots him. Doesn't care. Moves along.
Rock's the bad guy. This is the third movie where I can think of that Rock's the bad guy. He's technically the bad guy in The Mummy Returns. He's the bad guy here, and he's the bad guy in Get Smart.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he's a bad guy in Black. Well, Black Adam's supposed to be a villain, but whatever. So now Rock and Carl Urban are debating because Rock says that they need to protect the serve.
Yeah, but Carl Urban is like, dude, check it. So supposedly they only infect shitty people. Now, good people, they aren't going to get infected. And The Rock's like, that's fucking done. I'm dumb. I'm killing fucking everyone. Fuck you. I am the leading commanding officer. Eat my shorts.
And then the kid from earlier refuses to go through with it.
Well, no, he finds a fucking room of like children, of women and children and people that have not been attacked. And he's like, dude, yeah. I found a room. These people have not been infected. And then like The Rock's like, I told you to kill anything that breathes. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not killing innocent people. And he's like, what the fuck? The Rock then, I'll let you take it from here.
So then they find Pinky, right?
And then, actually, no. Well, The Rock, this is when The Rock shoots the fucking kid.
Well, yeah, I was getting to that. So then basically what happens is Rock is like, I'm giving you an order. And then the kid's like, no, fuck you. We want Cody. And then, yeah, Rock shoots him.
Well, fuck you and your Cody crybaby bitch ass.
And then Carl Urban screams, it was his first mission.
Yo, it was his first mission. Why'd you kill him? That's not cool. But Rock's like, I'm not cool anymore. Deal with it.
Rock's like, but it won't be my last.
But it won't be my last.
There's a standoff now between him and Carl Urban. Then a monster shows up and it kills someone. I don't know who it kills.
It grabs Pinky.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they just and go like a monster just grabs Pinky and then they're just on full chase trying to get this monster.
And now we get a chase shootout sequence. And then this is where the cast starts getting picked off one by one.
Yeah.
Duke's gone. Okay, this was funny. There's a part where Rock gets like grabbed by a monster. And it's kind of funny.
Well, the thing, it's like the kid's dead, Duke then dies, and then The Rock and friggin' Carl Urban and his sister gets into the fucking like this one room and they're working with a nano door, but the nano door is not closing, or they're shooting off all these peeps, and then something grabs Rock by his legs, pulls him through the nano door, and then you have The Rock going, it's like, I'm not supposed to die. And it gets yanked away. And then
I was about to say that. That was great.
And then the nano wall turns solid again. And then the bullet ricochets and hits fucking our main man, Carl Urban. And then he's like hella injured. Like he's like dying injured. It's bad.
Yeah, he's mortally wounded. They're hiding. They're talking to each other.
Yeah, they go into a storage closet. They barricade it. And then like the sister goes like, I'm going to inject you with the 24 chromosome. And he's like, I don't know if that'll work. I've done some really shitty things. And she's like, you're my brother. I know you're cool. You're a
good person.
I know you're a good person. It's like, I don't know about that. Well, you're dying anyway. So either he gives her a gun. And he's like, well, if I turn into a crazy doom monster, just blast my fucking face off. So either way, she injects him with the fucking 24 chromosome and then he crashes out. But then we wake up in first person view and this is where like the movie turns fucking sick.
He literally wakes up and it is now the best part of the movie.
Yeah, he wakes up, blood. He doesn't have not a scratch on him. He's all injured. The 24th chromosome, he got that shit. He picks up a gun and just go. So, Ed, what'd you think of this scene? This is honestly
The next few minutes are genuinely just completely fucking sick. He grabs a gun, locks and loads, and motherfucker goes to town. He's walking around just
Whoa, you're not describing it. Well, no, here's the thing you're not describing. We're in fucking first person shooter view now. So the movie's just now playing like showing like it's a fucking video game, and he's fucking just like the sickest fucking player.
Yeah, he's got like the mannerisms like down. Like he's doing little like motions and things at first person that like Doom guy does in the games. Oh, it's great. The monsters are like, you know, they're like launching at him. He's just gunning them down. Oh, it was so sick. There's even a part where one of the monsters just randomly has the fucking chainsaw.
Yeah, and he fucking like fights this monster and like grabs the chainsaw, trying to fight him with it. But then he sets up a landmine and just blows up the monster. And it's just a fucking blood explosion as it just rains down.
But then we get like the best part of the POV shot where he gets into a room and then Pinky, as a Pinky, attacks him, and he's got to just fend him off with the chainsaw. It was so sick.
Yeah, it's just a first-person chainsaw fight, which when I played Doom, I just remember the chainsaw was a one-shot kill most of the time.
I rewatched this cutscene. I rewatched the scene like 5 times.
You were like, wow, this is fucking sick. Like, is there?
Yeah, I was like, God damn it! Why couldn't the whole movie just be like this?
Now, I don't know if you want to watch a whole movie in first person and like first person view. It might be a little punishing.
Well, this was sick.
Like this scene, super sick. Where he's fucking hitting double jumps and all this crazy bullshit because now he's just like a fucking mutated fucking super soldier. Super awesome scene. But either way, then he walks in the big room. He eventually finds his sister.
Big room. But SpaghettiOs, Rocky's there.
Hey,
he's not.
Remember when he said he was like, "I'm not supposed to die." Well, I guess he didn't die.
But he's mad at everyone because he's mad because everyone ruined his WrestleMania event. And Carl Urban's like, "Die, Rocky, die." So
yeah, no, Carl Urban's like, "Sorry, I'm a Cody guy." And Cody won the Royal Rumble, so fuck you. Cody's beating Roman.
Yeah. So
and then Rock's so then like, we "Well, fuck you."
And then we just have a one-on-one between The Rock and Carl Urban.
Like
we went for, and it's funny because the way it starts, we went from intense, hard cock, rock, pulse pounding action to like a slow, methodical, like cat and mouse game for a few minutes.
Like literally, they're like, "This is kind of cool," because they go like, ask how many rounds they have on their guns. Carl Urban's like, "I got a half a clip. I got a half a mag," and then or clip, and then you got Dwayne going like, "I got one more shot." Tries to shoots him with the BFG, but totally just misses. Carl Urban's trying to shoot him down, but then eventually The Rock just busts through a fucking like window, and The Rock goes like, "Semper Fi, motherfucker," and was just like, "Well, I guess now you just want to just challenge me like hand-to-hand combat." So then Carl Urban just shoots off his last bullet, and then they have like a sick fist fight. Holy fuck, this movie like turns the fuck around after just a good hour and a half of just straight walking in darkness to then like 20 minutes of fucking nonstop fucking action. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and this fight scene is clearly before The Rock put the Steven Seagal clause in his contract. Of, "No, you can't hit me because
I can't look weak. I need to look strong."
Because this is a pretty back and forth fight, and it's just really awesome. Oh, and by the way, this is a good time to mention this. It's been good through the whole movie, but when it's allowed to shine in action moments like this, dude, the soundtrack for this movie kicks ass.
Oh, well, yeah, because I'm sure it's like the fucking Doom, like the Doom heads have like played a part in having a sick soundtrack.
So then, you know, they're fighting, and then Rock at one point turns into a demon. Which, by
the
way,
turning more into
that,
a demon. He's like turning more and more into a demon. Like we saw, he's infected.
By the way, we keep saying that, but the truth is, yeah, these aren't demons from hell. They're like they're space zombies.
Whatever, they're space zombies. But either way, the Rock's getting more and more infected, and he's turning more and more. He's starting to
wasted in space.
So he went from Rock of like 2005 to Rock of 2024. He was getting more veiny. He's just becoming more like bubbled out.
More jacked.
Just more jacked and ballooned out. I'm saying you couldn't tell if this was Black Adam or fucking Dwayne Rock Johnson in 2005. But either way, they're having a sick
and
fight.
At one point, Carl Urban eventually ends up chucking Rock into the arc portal.
Yeah, he uses his brain. He lures the Rock into the fucking, like, yeah, into the, like, arc portal, which obviously they were tied together because the Rock now has superhuman strength. He took, like, a miniature, he took, like a skinny barrier, like, pipe metal, wrapped it around his hand, but then Carl Urban was able to, like pull it apart enough, becomes a stabbing device. He stabs it through his, at some point he gets his hand stabbed, but he like links, like, you know what, maybe I'm over explaining it. I'm gonna stop. Either way, Carl Urban smarts.
He kicks the Rock's ass, everybody.
Yeah, he sends it through the arc portal, and then he throws a grenade through the arc portal, and then the Rock gets blown up. And then we see Carl Urban and his sister go up on this elevator back into the Nevada desert. And thus end the movie. Yeah, where we get a thumping Nine Inch Nails like soundtrack, and I'm sure Ed was marking the fuck out. You're like, oh, dude, fuck yeah, oh yeah. I bet you were like, fuck, dude, getting the fuck down.
I literally wrote here in my notes. I said, fucking Nin, dude. Dude, Nine Inch Nails has history with Doom. The devs have talked about when they were making like the early Doom games, like the first like two and shit. Like they would have like Nine Inch Nails music on in the background, like constantly as they worked. NIN appears on the ammo crate in Doom 2, and Trent Reznor did the soundtrack to goddamn Quake.
Wild.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a relationship between id Software and Trent Reznor.
There are, if you do enough digging, there's actually a huge number of like 90s pop culture things that Reznor like somehow had his hand in. It's actually kind of nuts. But yeah, no, so that was the movie, everybody. Oh, so I'm not going to lie. Like, it went from, like, a pretty, like, low-tier whatever movie, but the last 20 minutes in this movie is, like, 5 fucking stars.
I'm just saying, so this is, like, a movie you would see, this is, like, a B-movie that you would see, you would watch on the Sci-Fi Channel. And for the most part, it's just, like, plot development, just, like, plotting along, showing you little things. But then in the end, it's just a big climactic scene where just shit just goes to town. And, like, I remember when watched this movie back in the day, like, a fuckload. Dude, that fucking, that first-person shooter scene, so goated. I always thought that was the sickest fucking scene. I'm like, damn, yeah. That's so sick. Well, obviously, you would think that this movie called Doom, which I think they fucked up on the Hell and Demons part, but honestly, thinking, like, could you actually make a good Doom movie? All the best you could do is get a sick first-person shooter scene for, like, a little bit, so.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know if this is the, a hot take, but, like, just for the sake of comparison, I think Scorpion King might be the, quote-unquote, better movie throughout the whole movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. There was that movie was a little bit more engaging.
But the last 20 minutes of Doom like blow like at least half of Scorpion.
I don't know. First person shooter scene super sick, but fucking flame swords, bro, was super sick.
What do we call him? Prince Venmo was King Venmo was pretty sick, but I mean, Carl Urban fighting the Rock, and then before that, just doing sick shit with a chainsaw. I mean, come on, that's pretty
sick shit with a chainsaw in fucking first person view. It's like literally that's they were just
sick.
Yeah, but either
ironically, the best parts about this movie, well, not all of them, but because Rock had some good ham and cheese going on. But like the best parts of this movie didn't even come from the Rock.
Well, here's the thing, the Rock. Like early in the movie was just fucking like his acting was like so wooden and stiff, but when he was able to become a fucking psychopath, I was like, oh, look at that. Damn, Rock can act a little bit when he's a fucking detestable person.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I thought he pulled the heel turn quite well. I'm being serious. I genuinely thought I honestly thought that he did pretty well in this movie, all things considered.
So, yeah. Well, I guess next week, since I guess it's the week right before fucking WrestleMania, baby, we're just going to jump ahead and go to his last movie. I guess this was his technical middle era, but I think it was still his I think this is still early Dwayne. I feel like middle era Dwayne happens with the fucking G.I. Joe movie. But who cares about watching G.I. Joe? Let's watch fucking Doom. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. So next time is G.I. Joe or are we jumping to Black Adam?
I think it's Black Adam and then it's fucking Mania.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Okay.
So, well, either way, Anything else you want to say? Or do you feel it's time to wrap up the show?
No, that's the movie. You know, Rock, you should have stuck to trying to just do B movies, dude. That's what you were best at.
Nah, dude, he became an A-list fucking, like, just like Arnold, like, actor, where you just have, like, fun movies or so, till the movies become shitty.
Yeah.
Just happens. But you know what? It's been a minute since we had a big buff action star. Well, we did.
True.
And his name was Dwayne Johnson. But then Black Adam bombed. Dwayne
Johnson.
But yeah, then Black Adam bombed, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to be done with Hollywood. So now we just have John Cena as our big buff comedian relief guy.
Yeah, you get them, Peacekeeper.
Yeah, that's it. Like, John Cena doesn't even do fucking crazy action. He just sticks to fucking wacky comedies.
Yeah, and they're all pretty funny, but, like, okay, they're approaching one notes, but they're still pretty funny. And he kills it as Peacemaker, so he's doing all right.
He's doing okay for the moment. Rock's been a little overplayed, so that's why he ran back to wrestling and finally have his fucking match. Was trying to finally have his fucking match with fucking Roman Reigns, but sorry, everyone booked it in a way where it's like, no, we actually want to see fucking Cody goddamn wrestle. Rock, fuck off. Yeah, and then Rock's just like, well, I'm not getting any older. Well, I'm here. I'm going to do a fucking Mania regardless, so fuck you guys. Well, no, fuck you, Cody. Yeah, I was going to have a sick Mania match with my fucking cousin, but no, fucking Cody has to finish his story.
Yeah, and it's like, oh no, WWE finally has a babyface worth giving a shit about for the first time in forever that wasn't like artificially created or forced down people's throats. I'm so sorry they're mad at you, Dwayne.
Sorry they're mad at you, Dwayne. People don't give a fuck. They decide to actually make a story. We want to see it fucking go through. We don't want to wait another goddamn year. We want to see fucking Roman get beat.
Exactly. Anyway, that's the show, I guess, everybody.
That's the show, everyone. This is the Triple D Radio Show with your host, James and Edward. Hope y'all have a good one. Ow!
Adios. Adios.